All right, welcome back. And this is our session that we're focused on promotion. Another way to think about that is marketing your church into the community, or maybe you just like the word advertising. But remember, evangelism, it's twofold. It's mobilizing your congregation to go out and invite their friends, which we looked at last time. But it's also about you as a church intentionally going out into the community and advertising your church, letting people know you exist, planting seeds in that community so that unchurched people who do not have a relationship with anyone in your church can attend. So if you think about this logically, let's say you're a church of 500. They say that the average person in a church has about 65 relationships. Now, I'm not going to be able to do the math in my head, but that's about 4,000, 5,000 people, I believe. So if you think a church of 500, they might have 4,000, they might even have 40,000 connections out into the community. But your community is so much bigger than that. So 40,000 connections out of 4 million people, or out of 400,000 people, or out of 250,000 people, or 100,000 people, that's still a lot of people that has no connection with anybody who attends your church. And so personal evangelism, it works really well, and it can be very, very effective, but it's never going to reach people that have no connection to somebody in your church. So this is about reaching out to people that would otherwise never be reached through a personal evangelism invite. And so I've come to embrace marketing. You know, I don't see this as a dirty word. I've come to embrace promotion. I see that as something we should be doing. I mean, what better to promote than the church? I mean, everybody else promotes their product. Why wouldn't we promote the church? I've come to see advertising as a positive word because it allows us to reach people that otherwise would not be able to be reached. So as we get into this, you'll notice in your notes, I've put a passage from Mark chapter 4. But what I'd like to actually do is read a broader passage from that. So this call out in your note from Mark chapter 4, it actually is verses 4 through 9. But what I'd really like to do is I would like to pick it up in verse 3. So just listen if you don't have your Bibles handy. But if you do have your Bibles handy, I'm going to read Mark chapter 4, verses 3 through 20. So this is a long passage. And then you'll notice that I pick up verse 4 through 9 is actually in your notes. So Mark chapter 4, I'll go here in my Bible. Mark chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Actually, I'm going to pick it up in verse 3. Jesus is teaching. He says, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. So hold your finger right there. So the farmer plants some seed. As soon as he plants it, the birds come and eat it. You've probably done this in a park. You throw out some bread, immediately the birds or the ducks, they come and eat it. Other, it says in verse 5, other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. It sprang up quickly, but it soon wilted beneath the hot sun and died because the roots had no nourishment in the shallow soil. Number 7. Other seed fell among thorns that shot up and choked out the tender blade so that it produced no grain. Still, other seed fell on fertile soil. Now this is the good news here. Still, other seed fell on fertile soil and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Then he said, anyone who is willing to hear should listen and understand. So that's about where it ends in your notes. But you know there's a little bit more to this story, so let me continue on with verse 10. Later, when Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples and with the others who were gathered around, they asked him, what do your stories mean? He says in verse 11, you are permitted to understand the secret about the kingdom of God, but I am using these stories to conceal everything about it from outsiders so that the scriptures may be fulfilled. They see what I do, but they don't perceive its meaning. They hear my words, but they don't understand. So they will not turn from their sins and be forgiven. Now, I'm not going to get into what that means, but if you're an academic, you know this is the messianic secret that Mark kind of has running throughout his gospel. But verse 13 gets real practical. But if you can't understand this story, how will you understand all the others I'm going to tell you? So then Jesus explains it in verse 14. The farmer I talked about is the one who brings God's message to others. So the farmer is the person doing personal evangelism or the person that's doing promotion about their church. So the farmer is the one who brings my message to others. Number 15, the seed that fell on the hard path represents those who hear the message, but then Satan comes at once and takes it away from them. You ever seen that happen in your church? Somebody makes a decision to follow Christ this week and you never see him again. Well, why does that happen? Well, Jesus said, you know, maybe Satan comes and gets them and takes that away. So it was never a real commitment anyway. 16, the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and receive it with joy, but like young plants in such soil, the roots don't go down very deep. At first, they get along fine, but they wilt as soon as they have problems or are persecuted because they believe in the word. Hold your finger there before we go to verse 18. So this is the person who comes to faith in Christ, maybe comes for a little while, but they never get grounded in their faith. And we're going to talk about that in our next session when it comes to preservation. But they never get grounded in their faith, so as soon as they have a problem, or as soon as something doesn't go the way they think it should go, they abandon their faith. And this is heartbreaking. And I've seen a lot of new believers who are on path to growth, but then the cares of the world, as the old King James might have translated it, the cares of the world get them, and suddenly they're gone. Now, it doesn't mean they won't come back later. It doesn't mean you can't reclaim them, but it just simply means that for a while they're gone. Verse 18, the thorny ground represents those who hear and accept the good news, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the cares of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for nice things. So no crop is produced. Okay, that's pretty straightforward as to why you might lose that person. But, and here's finally the good news, but the good soil represents those who hear and accept God's message and produce a huge harvest, 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as has been planted. So, what this means is, when you go out and sow seeds into the community, whether it's through personal evangelism or what we're going to talk about in this session, promotion, that some people are not going to respond at all. They may say, yes, I'll come to church, but never show up. They may keep your invite and put it in a drawer, but they never show up. So there's a lot of different reasons as to why that might happen. But Jesus said it could be the devil, it could be the birds, it could be the thorns, it could be the cares of life. There's a lot of people that will say no, and you've got to understand that. So not every seed that's planted is going to come to fruition. Not every invite that is extended is going to lead to somebody coming to church or coming to faith in Christ. Not everything that you do to promote your church is going to work, but some will. Some of it will fall on good soil, and when it falls on that good soil, it's going to produce a crop 30, 60, and even 100-fold as much as has been planted. So, you know, even if 3 out of the 4 seeds fail, that fourth one is going to produce a crop that's greater than if they had all succeeded. And so this is something we have to keep in mind. And I give you this parable because I want to use this terminology of planting and farming to kind of guide our discussion. And I call this, in your notes, promotion, sowing seeds of invitation into the community. So personal evangelism is where your people go out and they are the farmer and they're doing the inviting and they're doing the direct seed sowing and they're inviting people to faith in Christ or to come to your church. But now promotion is where you as a church send out seeds. And these are not personal seeds. These are not people from your church who are going out. But it's marketing, it's advertising, it's invite cards, it's promotion, it's billboards, it's all these different things. You're going out into the community intentionally through marketing and advertising efforts to try to plant seeds in the hearts of people that are going to see that advertising and then hoping that some of that seed will come to fruition. So it's sowing seeds of invitation in the community. That's my favorite definition of biblical marketing or biblical promotion. Now, with that in mind and kind of keeping this terminology of the parable of the sower in your mind, let me give you 4 keys to effective promotion. Number 1, the first key of effective promotion is pinpoint your best fields. Pinpoint your best fields. Now, so this farmer in our story, he has a field that he's going to go plant in. And this is a wise farmer, so he intentionally chose this field. Now, it is a field that's full of thorns. It is a field that Satan has his eye on. It is a field that has some shallow soil, but it's also a field that has some potential for great harvest. And so I like to think about this farmer as being a wise farmer. He knows that there's some areas of his field that are pretty rough, but he also knows that there's some areas of his field that are ready. So Mark 4:3 says, a farmer went out to plant some seed. So if you as a church are going to do promotion, if you're going to promote your church, if you're going to market your church, advertise your church, where are your best fields? Now, what I mean by that is maybe what areas are you going to target? So if you're going to do a direct mail piece, what are the best zip codes for you to do that direct mail piece? If you're going to put up a billboard, where's the best place to put that billboard? If you're going to do some advertising, where's the best place to do that advertising? Well, you want to be strategic about this. Just like this farmer was strategic about the field that he planted in, you want to be strategic. Because in every community, there are multiple different fields. And some of those are fields that have harvest for you. Others of those are fields that would basically end up being a waste for you. So one of the things you can ask is, who am I currently reaching? So if you've been reaching people in your church, and you've been baptizing people in your church, and people in your church have been coming to faith in Christ, where are they coming from? Now, what's startling about this, and one of the things I've noticed, is that if I ask pastors, who are they reaching? A lot of times they say, we're reaching the people right around our church. And a lot of people, even in the church, would answer that. Who are we reaching? Well, we're reaching people who live around our church. But if you really dig into the data and you look at it, a lot of times a church can be in one area, but they're only reaching people who live north of there. Or they're primarily reaching people who live east of there. Or they're primarily reaching people who are on a certain road that comes by the church. And so they're not reaching everybody in a circle around the church. They're reaching people in the northwest corner. They're reaching people in the southeast corner. They might even be reaching people who are a little bit across town, but because on Sunday morning that road is pretty close, it's easy for them to get there. You know, in our churches in Manhattan, we've noticed that we tend to reach people who are on the same subway track as our church because people don't want to have to transfer trains on a Sunday morning. In our more suburban locations, we found that we reach people who are usually one or two interstate exits north and south of where we are. And we actually have, in one of our suburban locations, we have a much broader reach north to south than we do east to west. Well, why is that? Well, it's just the way it is. You know, if there's different communities inside of your community, there's different pockets of people, there's different neighborhoods. The very first church I pastored, we had a massive planned development right across the street. I tried as hard as I could, and I don't think we ever reached more than three or four people from that community. But then behind me was a lot of open farmland that had been turned into random houses. It wasn't a planned community at all, but it was hundreds of houses that were just built randomly on this former farmland. Well, we reached people like crazy back through there. Now, why was it we reached people directly behind the church, but we didn't reach people in front of the church? Here's the answer. I don't know. But that was the way it was. That's just the facts. And so part of pinpointing your best fields is saying, okay, who are we currently reaching? Where are they coming from? And then related to that is who is like the people already in our church? So who is like me? So for example, if you've got a church and you're reaching a lot of young families, where do the young families live? If you've got a church that's reaching a lot of college students, where are those college students located? If you've got a church that's mainly reaching people who are maybe in the latter part of their life, maybe the kids are grown and you know they're now empty nesters, where are those people living? And more than likely, they kind of clump together. So young families tend to live in one part of town, and then maybe those who are downsizing after the kids have gone off to college, they live in another part of town. Senior communities are in another part of town. It's not always like that, but you want to look at that. And more than likely, the type of people that you're already reaching are the types of people that you're going to continue to reach. And I know that's not always good news because I know that a lot of you are listening to this and you have a church that's aging and you want to try to reach young people. Well, you can still do that if you're ready for them, and you may want to target those specific areas. And then another question is, who is not churched? So where do the unchurched people live? Well, they probably live all over, but you can think about that question. Now here's an exercise for you when we get done. People are most likely to come to church when they're in one of three stages, when they're under tension, when they're in transition, or they're in trouble. Okay, think about that. People are most likely to come to church when they're under tension, in transition, or in trouble. So when people get under tension in their marriage, maybe a newlywed couple gets under tension in marriage, they start thinking about spiritual solutions. You know, they've tried everything the world has to offer, it's not helping, so let's try the church. When people get under financial tension, they try everything the world has to offer, it doesn't work, let's try the church. And so who are the people in your community that are under tension, and where might they live? Second thing is, where are people in transition? You know, where do the new people move in your community? In one of our suburban locations, we noticed one time that we were reaching a lot of people who lived around this big shopping mall area. And what we discovered is around that shopping mall, that's where a lot of the entry-level housing was. And so people who were moving to the community but weren't ready to buy a house yet, or maybe young married couples who couldn't afford to buy a house, they would live in those neighborhoods around that shopping mall. And for many years, we were able to effectively reach people in that area just because they were in transition. So most of the people who were living in those neighborhoods, they were there in transition, you know, just getting started as a marriage or just moving to the community. And so we found that that was an area where people were most likely to go to church because they were looking to start new habits. They were looking to start a new direction for their life because they were in transition. And then to go kind of deep, there are oftentimes people that are in trouble. Now, this is beyond tension. Okay, this is now we're in trouble. So the marriage is not just under pressure. The marriage is about to fall apart. I'm not just experiencing financial strain, but I'm about to declare financial bankruptcy. Well, there are people around in your community that are in trouble. And so where could you reach them? Now, just to say it parenthetically, Pastor, when you think about your sermons, I want you to think about how do you address the tensions, transitions, and troubles that people have in their life. That'll help you with your preaching. But for our purposes today, when we're done here in this session, why don't you take 5 to 10 minutes, put up a piece of paper on the board and say troubles in our community, transitions in our community, tensions in our community, and just have a discussion about those different topics. And then maybe that will help you to kind of understand, okay, what areas do we want to focus? Where do people live that are in transition? Where are the neighborhoods that maybe that are in trouble that we could try to reach? But you got to pinpoint your best fields. Now, in marketing, they actually call this targeting. And I've kind of avoided using that word over the years because it does have some negative connotation. But the truth is you can't hit everybody in your community. It's too big. So you've got to find a subsection of that community and you've got to target that. So you've got to target young families. You've got to target empty nesters. You've got to target senior citizen areas. And the more you can target and find the best fields that connect with who you are already reaching, the more people you're going to reach in general. So pinpoint your best fields. And then once you do, and you say, okay, this is where we're going to target, then you want to, number two, plant the maximum number of seeds possible. So once you've targeted this area and done this hard work, now you want to go after it with all your heart. So it says in Mark 4:4 that our wise planter, he scattered it across his field. And you can just kind of picture that bag that he has on one side and he's just scattering. He's scattering hundreds of seed, thousands of seed, maybe tens of thousands of seeds in that community. Knowing that some are going to fall on shallow soil, some are going to be eaten up by the birds, some are going to be gotten by the devil, whatever it is. But he's going to scatter more seeds than the birds can eat. He's going to scatter more seeds than the devil can steal. And so he's just scattering the maximum number of seeds possible. I mean, can you imagine a farmer who goes out to plant and he just takes 3 seeds? And that's all he does. He's got those 3 seeds and his whole crop and his whole livelihood and his whole family is based on those 3 seeds? No, he doesn't do 3, he does 300. He doesn't do 300, he does 300,000. He does as many as he can to try to get the maximum harvest from that area. So when you're reaching out in your community, particularly with promotion, how can you plant the maximum number of seeds possible? Well, some example of promotion seeds that you would send in your community. My favorite one is the first one I list there, which is direct mail. I absolutely love direct mail. And most of the direct mail that we send, it's big. It's like this piece of paper. It's 8.5 by 11, or it's even sometimes even bigger than that, 8.5 by 14, or maybe 9 by 14, or sometimes even bigger. I like to do big direct mail pieces. And yeah, I want people to be able to see it in their mailbox and hold on to it. Direct mail is one of the best seeds that you can plant into your community. And what I love about direct mail is you can target those specific fields that we were talking about. You can go just after this community, or you can focus just on this zip code or just on this region. And you can work with a direct mail house or a printer in your community and work with your post office to make this happen. And there's some examples of some of the direct mail pieces that we've done that are in the appendix of this resource. But when you do direct mail, again, you don't just mail 50 pieces. You don't just mail 500 pieces. You want to mail 1,000 pieces. You want to mail 5,000 pieces. In fact, if I could get you to do it, I would say the minimum number of pieces you ever want to do for a direct mail is 5,000. So plant these seeds as many as possible. Now, you're not going to get 5,000 people to show up. You may plant 5,000 seeds and only get 5 families. But you know those 5 families are committed to the church. They get baptized in the church. They become tithers in the church. Those 5 families will more than pay for the small expense of doing mailings. And I'll tell you right now that direct mail is cheaper than it's ever been. And the post office is more willing to work with you and organizations like yours to get direct mail out into the community. So I love direct mail. Now, some other examples, and I'll just have to run through these quickly, are things like door hangers. You can do an evangelism project where you go out into a community, a neighborhood, especially if it's a planned neighborhood that's easily walkable, and you can put out door hangers. You can actually hire companies to do that for you, and you can search that online and find it. I still like newspaper advertising. I like magazine advertising. Maybe there's a neighborhood magazine or a neighborhood newspaper in the area that you've pinpointed where you can target that. Try to get the back page if you can. That's the page that's on the outside of the newspaper, the outside of the magazine. That's best. If you're in a smaller market, radio advertising works. You know, the bigger the market, the harder it is to use radio. But if you've got a local small town radio, or it only reaches the 3 or 4 communities right around you, that could be very powerful. I still like billboards. You know, a lot of times you can get a vacant space on billboards very inexpensively. And the best billboards are the ones that say, so-and-so church, your church, next exit, or left at the next light. And so it's very close proximity to your church. It's hard to get a billboard to work if they got to drive all the way across town to find you. I love servant evangelism. Servant evangelism is both personal evangelism, but it's also promotion. So you go out on a hot day in the park, you might give out 500 bottles of water. So you sowed 500 seeds. Now, the cool thing is you mobilized 40 or 50 people from your church to do it. So you stirred up their evangelistic heart. But then you know not every one of those seeds is going to lead to a direct invite, but you might get 3 or 4 people to show up from that servant evangelism project. Invite cards, we've talked about that. Cinema ads, you know, those little ads they show before the movie starts for people who get there early. Well, that can be a very effective way. Advertising specialties. You may have noticed my pen here that I've had during these sessions. This is actually a pen from our church, and we have people take them home every week. We give it to them so they can fill out their connection card, but then they take it home with them. And I tell them, don't just leave these in your drawer. Take them out. You know, if you go out to lunch on Sunday and you have to sign a credit card receipt, we'll leave this pen in with the credit card receipt. So now the waiter or the wait staff, they have 2 pens. They've got the pen they gave you, plus they've got your pen. And I was at a doctor's office the other day, and I had to fill out some forms. And when they gave me the pen, it was one of our church's pens. I mean, what are the chances of that? And I said, if you want some more of those, I can hook you up, because I can get you thousands of these if you want. So there's different ways you can do that with pens or calendars or other advertising specialties in your church. And I'm sure you can think of others. You know, I mentioned some of the other resources I have. One of my more popular resources is a big resource that I actually recorded over a 3-day workshop. It's called the Church Marketing Workshop. And if you really want to go deep into some of these marketing ideas and really look at how do you write a direct mail piece, how do you write a door hanger, if you want to see all kinds of samples, just go to the website at the bottom of your notes and search in the store for the Church Marketing Workshop. Okay, we pinpoint the best fields. We plant the maximum number of seeds. And then 3, we expect, remember that principle of expectation from last time? We expect a proportional return. So this is what I'm saying to you. You know, you don't do 500 servant evangelism touches and get 500 people to show up. You don't mail 5,000 invites and get 5,000 people to show up. You're going to get a proportional return on these seeds. And Jesus even promised it. I won't read the passage again, but you can see there about all the soil, all the seed that falls on bad soil or gets taken away. And I used to get so discouraged by this. You know, we would go out and we would do 100 servant evangelism touches and maybe have nobody show up. We'd go out again and do 200 servant evangelism touches and maybe have just one or two show up. And I'd be like, we spent a half a day or a half of a morning out doing this. Why did so few show up? I used to get so caught up, and I would get so mad at the birds who got some. I would get so mad at the devil who got some. I'd get so mad at the shallow soil that some of our seed fell on. And this would just bother me. And then I began to realize, well, that's just the way it is. I can't change it. This is the dynamic. Whenever a farmer goes out to sow, some of the seed, a large portion of it, is never going to do anything. But there will be a proportional return. And you can't go based on like what some of the marketing books tell you in secular marketing. You're not going to get a 5% return. You're not going to get a 10% return. You know, you're not selling Coca-Colas or something like that. You're going to get a very small return. You're going to make 500 touches at a servant evangelism project and get one family to show up. Well, praise God for that one family. That was what that was about. It was about reaching that one family. You're going to mail 5,000 direct mail pieces on Easter and only get four or five families to show up. Well, again, how else are you going to reach these families if you don't do these projects? Now, every once in a while, you know, we had a newspaper ad that we ran one time, and we, best we could tell, we got 80 people from that one newspaper ad. Now, I was thinking we ought to run that ad every week, but it happened to be that that particular series and that particular day, it connected with a whole lot of people. And we had about three times that many people invite their friends, but still, that was a 25% of our first-time guests, best we could tell, came from a newspaper ad. That will happen from time to time. You will do a mailing. You'll do a 10,000-piece mailing, and you'll get 50 families to show up. You might do another 10,000-piece mailing, and you only get five families to show up. Just understand that's the way this works. And the more consistent you are, and the better you get at it, and the more you understand marketing, that's why I did that big workshop, then the greater the return's going to be. And sometimes you get no return because you had a bad marketing piece. So you want to study examples and make sure that you're spending money right, but understand you're going to get a proportional return. And for those of you that say, well, that may not be worth it. Well, how else are you going to reach that family? How else are you going to reach those four families? How else are you going to reach those 20 families if you don't do this? And then if they all get involved, or even if a proportion of those get involved and becomes tithers, their tithe over the next year is going to more than pay for the marketing expense, because marketing in general is cheap compared to all the other time-consuming ways that we can reach people. And sometimes it may take a while for the harvest to come. And that's what I want you to remember in number four. Wait for the coming harvest. Wait for the coming harvest. You know, I've worked with a lot of churches and helped them do their first direct mail campaign. Well, the first time out of the gate, they may see very little results. But then they do it again, and they do it again, and they do it again. And what happens is they see snowball results. They see cumulative results. They may only reach a few people with their first direct mail, but once they kind of get into the community and get better at it, and they do more of it, and people see their advertising more than once, which, you know, is one of the big principles of advertising, repetition. You know, one of the big principles of advertising is repetition. One of the big principles of advertising is repetition. People have to see it over and over and over. Well, the more they see it, then the more harvest you're going to get. And eventually, seed will fall on fertile soil. And then number five, and we'll deal with this in the next session, prepare and plan for the future. So if you're doing direct mail, then expect that first-time guests are going to show up. If you're doing door hangers, expect that people are going to show up. If you're doing servant evangelism, expect that people are going to show up, but then go deeper. Prepare for them to show up. You know, if you're praying for 40 people to show up, you better be prepared for 40 people to show up. If you're going out with the expectation of doing a marketing project that's going to reach 20 families, you got to be ready for those 20 families. And, you know, I think sometimes spiritually that God doesn't bless your marketing efforts because he knows if he does, you're not ready for that blessing. And isn't that kind of sad? You do all of this work and then, because you weren't prepared to preserve the fruit of the harvest, God doesn't give you a harvest. Now, that's not necessarily the way it works in nature. You know, in nature, you plant a seed, tomatoes grow, and whether you ever harvest them or not, tomatoes will grow next year. But in the spiritual world, God knows if a church is ready for the harvest. And so we're going to spend next session getting you ready for that harvest so that some of the crop will grow 30, 60, and even 100-fold. All right, let me wrap up this session by giving you just some promotion tips that I've learned over the years. I'll go through these rather quickly because we've already hit on them intentionally as I've gone along. Number one is in your marketing, be consistent. Be consistent. You know, I've talked about that. You do one direct mail campaign, you'll get some results, but if you consistently do them throughout the year for your big days, you're going to get snowball or exponential results. So be consistent. Number two, be clear. I noticed this in a lot of promotion. People are never clear. They're not clear about what time the church meets. They're not clear about where the church is located. They're not clear about what the invite is. So make it clear. Remember, people say no to what is confusing, or people say no to what is unclear. And so sometimes a marketing piece doesn't work is because it's not clear. So get your printer to proof it for you. Get somebody in your family who doesn't go to church to proof that direct mail piece or that door hanger or the Servant Evangelism invite card to see if it makes sense to them. And in that promotion, tell people exactly what you want them to do. You know, the best seeds are actually clear invites to a church. And so make it crystal clear that you're inviting them to attend your church. Now, I'd rather you be clear than this next step, but also if you can tie clarity into it, number three, be creative. So you want to be clear, first of all, but then, you know, you also want to have a little creativity, have a little humor, have a little tongue in cheek, have something that's visually stimulating, have something that catches people's attention. You know, be creative, but make sure it's clear first and then creative. Because I've seen a lot of things that are really creative, but they're terribly unclear. So think about that. Number four, be confined. And that goes back to our harvest field. You can't mail everywhere. You can't put door hangers on every door. You can't advertise in everything. So figure out what you can do and confine your promotion to those areas and then go after those areas. And then number five, be confident. You know, this is what's different about your advertising than all the advertising in the community that you see going on. If you put a billboard up, if you put a direct mail piece in somebody's mailbox, if you advertise on the back page of the newspaper or some other form, you've got the Spirit working for you. So your confidence is really a Spirit confidence. It's not a confidence in how creative you are or how cool your church is. It's about the Spirit going along with everything that's being mailed. So every mail piece you send out, it's like the Holy Spirit rides along with that mail piece and is working. And you know, soda advertisers or beer advertisers or whoever else is advertising, car dealerships in your community, they don't have the Spirit involved in their advertising. I mean, maybe they've got people who pray in those industries or whatever, but they don't have the Spirit's blessing like you have. You see, your advertising has a Spirit side of it. And that's what makes it different than secular promotion. Remember this. 2 Corinthians 9:10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest for your righteousness. 2 Corinthians 9:10. We were getting ready to do a big summer advertising campaign. I won't tell you the numbers, but it was thousands of dollars. And it was big for our church at that time, you know, even though the number, if I gave it to you, might seem relatively small, but it was really big for our church. And I was about to walk into this meeting, and I was going to say, we just can't afford it. We just can't do it. It's too big for us. But right as I was going into that meeting, a friend of mine who's a pastor in Virginia, he called me. And I thought, well, I've got a couple minutes. I'll say hello to him, and I'll tell him that I'm going to call him back after the meeting's over. And I took the call, and his name was Jimmy. And Jimmy said, I don't know why I need to call you, Nelson, but I wanted to call and give you this verse, 2 Corinthians 9:10. It was the verse that we just read. And he said, I just wanted to remind you that God gives seed to the sower. And I said, well, this is almost prophetic. And, you know, I don't even believe in some of that kind of stuff. Sometimes I tend to be less believing than I should be. But I said, this is prophetic. And so I go into that meeting and I say, okay, I'm going to approve these thousands of dollars that we're going to spend. And it was a very precise number. So we did the summer program. We did the outreach in the community. We reached a lot of people that summer through the outreach, and our church grew into the fall. And you fast forward from the beginning of the summer to now, it's the end of the third quarter. So we're into October, and I'm getting the giving reports from our church. Guess how much our giving was up in the third quarter? It was up by the exact amount within just a few hundred dollars of what we had spent on that summer evangelism program. So we spent X on the Servant Evangelism program. We got back almost exactly X in our budget that year. So where did that come from? God gave seed to the sower. So remember this, evangelism is an investment. It's an investment in your community. It's an investment in the Lord. It's an investment in your calling and in your community. It's never an expense. Evangelism is an investment, not an expense. And if you do it right, it's going to look like it's going to require a lot of faith. It's going to stretch some of you who are a little tight with the church's money to kind of release this. But in return, the harvest is great. And you may see a 30, 60, 100-fold increase in what's going on. So I hope you'll keep that in mind as you work this process. So I've given you some homework. I've given you some next steps. I hope you have a great discussion on those. I'll see you next time.